Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is Episode 5. Today, we're feeling a little reserved. Rue packs her bags, and I talk catahoulas and bandanas with Brittany, the dog mom of Bandit. I keep talking about the amazing social connections that we all have through our Instagram accounts and online. And yeah, I don't mean to sound like a broken record there. Then there's this deeper connection when you can talk to someone that you've never met about going to some of the exact same places that you've both been to and recounting the memories you have from those places, which is exactly what Brittany and I did during this upcoming interview. And it really made me want to go back to one of my favorite parks in Arkansas. So I actually got online and reserved a campsite for a couple nights coming up at Petajean State Park in Arkansas. And I'm really looking forward to it. So for the intro of this episode, Rue and I are going to give you our top five favorite things to take on a camping trip. And since I'm generally car camping, I can splurge a little here and carry a few extra things that I might not take on just a backpacking trip. So number one, most important, a coffee press. I do not function without coffee in the morning, and I'm not just talking about any coffee. It's got to be hot, and it has to be pretty good. I'm not just going to drink anything. So a friend of mine turned me on to the AeroPress coffee and espresso maker a few years back when I made my first trip to southern Utah, and it's become a standard in my backpacking arsenal. It's super lightweight. It's really simple to use, and it's cheap. I think you can get one for about $30 online, and that's going to include the press and quite a few filters. I believe mine came with 100 filters and a measuring scoop as well. So yeah, that always goes with me. Number two, and just because I need coffee to wake up doesn't mean I don't sleep well. I really like my Climate Static V sleeping pad, and Rue has the Moon dog bed, also from Climate. They have lots of pretty cool pad options, but honestly, their basic one is the cheapest, and I've been really happy with both of those. They roll up small enough for a fast pack or a day bag. I've had them for several years, so they're durable. Rue hasn't popped it yet by stepping on it. And it's just a good dog bed in general. So whether I'm sleeping in the car, in a tent, or my favorite, number three, a hammock. I have a Kamek Roo, spelled R-O-O, not like Roo the Shark. And I bought it mostly just for using in the backyard, but eventually it just started going on all of my camping trips. Again, it's super lightweight. It packs really small, it's very simple to set up, and it's mostly comfortable. Sleeping in a hammock kind of takes a little bit of getting used to. One thing that's helped me out, I found that putting the sleeping pad in it and making sure that the straps are really tight so you don't curve down as much makes it easier, especially if you're a side sleeper like I am. Now, the one I have doesn't include any kind of weather or bug protection, but they do make those, and I've actually got one on the way that I'm really looking forward to using this summer. Rue really isn't a big fan of being in the hammock, so she's usually parked directly underneath me on her own bed. And I also really like Kamek as a company. That's spelled K-A-M-M-O-K, and they are out of Austin, Texas, and they just do a whole lot to be a sustainable company and just a responsible company. So you should definitely check them out. They have a whole bunch of really cool stuff. And in their mission statement is adventure. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with that, right? Number four is a soft cooler that I don't necessarily feel the need to advertise the name. Yes, they're expensive. Yes, it works really, really well. I can keep my post-trail run beer cold for several days, even in a hot car. Yes, it was expensive. Yes, it was worth it. Actually, it was really a gift from my partner, so I can't complain too much about it. But I'm sure she spent oodles of money on it, and we use it all the time. And yes, it was expensive. Number five is a toss-up for me. Never leave home without your towel or extra socks. Simple? Yes. Essential? I'd like to think so, because nothing says comfort to me like being dry and clean socks. Of course, I've got plenty of other items on the list, and if you'd like to take a peek at my complete packing spreadsheet, yes, I am a planning nerd, for my upcoming camping trip, trail running adventure with Rue, you can check that out. I will include a link in the show notes of this episode, and I'll also probably post a pic of my pack spread out at some point, kind of like my flat pack picture before it all goes into the car. So I hope that that kind of gives you some ideas and maybe inspires you to get out or help you create your own camping packing list for your own adventures. And if you have any questions about the stuff that I use, let me know. I'd be more than happy to answer questions. But moving on to today's interview is with Brittany, the dog mom of Bandit on Instagram at Bandit's Mighty Adventures from the Dallas, Texas area. Bandit is a blue merle Catahoula mix that makes every nature pic look perfect.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Well, cool. Well, I guess let's just kind of get started with it.
Okay.
Well, first of all, thank you so very much for for coming on the podcast. I'm really glad to have you because I've been a fan of yours for a while now. Just some beautiful, beautiful photos.
Oh, thanks.
So I guess if you'll introduce yourself and your dog.
Okay. Well, I'm Brittany, and I'm the dog mom to Bandit's Mighty Adventures.
A.K.A. Schnook?
Yes. It's the silliest nickname. I don't even know where it came from. I wish I knew, but that has stuck. He responds to that, actually.
Hey, if that works, it works.
Yeah.
How old is Bandit?
He will actually be 2 on April 4th. Okay. So, yeah, around the corner.
So he's still fairly young.
Yeah.
And how long have you had him? Well, I guess kind of tell me how you got him and his backstory for me.
Okay. So at working at Social Pack, we actually work with Operation Kindness, and they're the biggest, I think they're the biggest no-kill shelter in North Texas. And so our relationship with them is they actually bring a handful of dogs on Wednesdays, and we keep them till the weekend, and then that's when they go to events and, you know, get adopted. Mm-hmm. Well, they actually forgot Bandit. And
forgot him?
His name was, yes, they forgot him at the at Social Pack. They were doing a head count and somehow he got missed. So the whole first week he was there, I was like, oh dang, this dog is cute. I don't know if I can get another one. Like, I should not spend any time with him because I get attached so easily. It's awful. And anyway, and then forgetting him, I did what I shouldn't have done and spent a lot of time with him and, of course, fell in love. He actually ended up getting a pretty severe upper respiratory infection. Mm-hmm. So he was supposed to go to an adoption event, but because he was so sick, he had to go back to Operation Kindness. So I had 2 months to talk my husband into letting me get him. I would go to Operation Kindness during lunch or after work at least 3 times a week and just spend time with him, as much time that I could spend with him.
Yeah.
and we ended up adopting him. So it was kind of a blessing that he ended up getting sick. And obviously I don't want him to get sick, but sure. Just so that he ended up, you know, coming home with me and stuff and didn't get adopted by someone else because, oh, he's cute.
Sometimes things just happen for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely believe that.
But he's all better now. How old was he when when you adopted him?
They estimated about, 5 or 6 months?
Okay.
Is what they kind of put him at. He came from a shelter in Irving. If I remember correctly, he was just dumped somewhere and somebody in Irving picked him up and took him to the shelter. So that's where he had spent the first 3 months before he came to Operation Kindness. So I'm not exactly sure where he was before that.
Okay. So I'm glad that that happened. How big is Operation Kindness? You say it's the largest no-kill shelter. Are you very familiar with it at all? Or?
Yeah. So they actually I don't know if one is the correct word, but they just got a huge grant I can't remember who was hosting the event actually, but they're expanding. So they are a standalone building. A lot of shelters or organizations up here are a little bit smaller, and so they work through fosters, but they actually do have their own building. It's a huge facility. They have a whole backyard where they can walk the dogs, and it's got these nice trees and benches, and they've got 3 separate areas. I think they have a small dog space, and then I think it's called Bear's Den is the large dog space, and then their veterinary area, and then their area for cats. So it's a really nice setup.
Yeah, it sounds like they put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you mentioned Social Pack, and I guess I should probably point out, in case anyone didn't listen to the previous episode with Natasha, that you're friends with Natasha, and you actually work.
Yeah.
You work at Social Pack Dogs.
Yeah. So I think it's going on 4 years at the end of this year that I will have been with her. And I actually manage the facility when she's gone, which is kind of funny because a lot of times I'm gone with her. So I'm the manager and been doing that with her for, I think, 2 years, almost 2 years now. So.
And you met her through another friend of yours who is also an Instagram person.
Yes. So Stephanie with Duo Doggos, Ollie and Coda, we've actually been friends for, 15 plus years. We went to school together and everything like that. And then she was working for Natasha first and got me the job kind of as a part-time gig. And I fell in love with it. And so I quit my corporate job and I've been working here full-time.
So this is that's the true community right there, because you guys actually know each other. But it's funny how being on Instagram or other social media platforms, that when you're on there long enough and you talk to one person and you realize, oh, they know this person as well. And then you start to realize, oh, they actually know this person, but it really brings together that how strong this whole community, even if we don't actually know that person or see that person directly, so many of our friends that we communicate with, it really shows how strong all of this community is, and that, you know, we've got, it's 2 degrees of separation, really. You know one person, you start to know just these huge, if you could put it all together in a Venn diagram, we all, in a sense, know each other. And that's what I really like. And of course, that's what I'm really trying to bring out with this show.
Yeah. Well, that's actually why I'm really excited to be a part of it and, get to hear more intimately all the behind the scenes relationships between a lot of the dogs I know, or like you said, dogs I know through other dog accounts.
Yeah.
Just because, it's great to be oh man, that spot is awesome. And that person seems really cool. But to get a little blip into their everyday reality is just really, really neat. So I'm really excited about it.
Really, it's just so I can figure out where all those secret cool spots are.
Yes,
that's
yeah,
all
I
it's
know.
About. Well,
yeah.
Speaking of the cool spots, getting out into the outdoors, have you always been an active person getting out? Or is it something
Oh,
you
yeah.
just started once you got Bandit?
No, I've always, unless it's Texas summer heat, because I could live without that, I am outside all the time. I've always been that way. It's just, I don't know. There's just something calming about being outside in nature. And unfortunately, the dog that I had before Bandit was, to make a long story short, was just not social with people or dogs. And it made any type of, I mean, even just a short trip anywhere, pretty much impossible. So because I was trying to learn more about, I mean, dog language and psychology and what I was doing wrong and everything, it didn't really leave a whole lot of room to explore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, after getting Bandit and just knowing more about dogs and how I could communicate more effectively with my dog, it really has been a blessing for me too, to be able to get out and learn a whole lot of just awesome things that I didn't even know I didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I just jumped with it. I exposed him to as much as I could in the beginning and just to get him familiar and everything. And we've been travel buddies ever since. So.
Well, you know, I think it's a growing trend.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dog prior to Rue. His name was Poncherello.
Okay.
And I had him from the time I was 19 years old. And I've always been really active, but for whatever reason, and I still can't really figure out why, I never really took him as many places. I mean, we were active. I walked him and did stuff with him, but I never took him on longer trips. And I think years ago, even just a few years back, it wasn't always as common to travel. This is something, especially with social media, and we mm-hmm. see how many people travel with their dogs and go do stuff. It's like, oh, I can go do that.
Yeah.
And it's definitely the culture, the dog culture has really
mm-hmm.
Increased over the years. So I think it's just something that we've become more aware of as time. So
yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so yeah, I guess just kind of now that I've got Rue, I'm trying to make up for lost time of, you know, not having taken my first dog out and done really cool adventures. But going back to your first adventure with Bandit.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm doing with Bandit. I feel like, you know, at six, well, he was probably 7 or 8 months at that point. He loved the car. So I figured, okay, well, he rides really well. So I'm sure like I could get away with like a 6-hour drive. We'll take plenty of potty breaks and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually went to Palo Duro our first trip, and that's about a 6-hour drive. And we learned quite a bit on that trip. I was very unprepared because I've gone camping tons growing up and everything,
sure.
but it's been a while. You know, you have to adult, and sometimes, you know, camping trips don't take priority. But I was so unprepared. It was freezing cold, and Bandit was not a cuddler at the time. I think he was still, you know, getting used to surroundings and just
still,
taking everything in.
Still learning how to be a dog.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a lot. You know, we had two other dogs at the time, and, you know, then there's daycare too. And now I'm throwing him in the car for 6 hours and we're just going to go. But I thought he froze overnight. Like I'm not even joking. I don't think I got any sleep the first night. He crawled on my sleeping bag, like right on my legs. And I was like, man, this dog never cuddles. That's so sweet. And so since I wasn't sleeping because I was cold, I woke up and was like loving on him, and he just wasn't moving. I was like, oh my God, he's not moving. What's going on? And so I started like shaking him because his ears were cold. I mean, I'm like panicking, and it's probably 3 a.m. So it was, oh goodness. It was a very interesting first, first experience, but we both toughed it out and made it through. So
yeah, we learned a whole lot from our first trip as well. So I can attest to that. My issue though, you know, going camping so much when I was younger, my issue wasn't not taking enough. It was taking too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that trip you went on, that first trip, that was also with Zephyr and Duo Doggos as well? Okay.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. That Stephanie was still living in Dallas at the time, so we just all packed up and took off. So just for a short weekend trip.
Yeah. And since you mentioned Dallas, quickly, a few places just around Dallas that you like, that your favorite places, you know, being just hiking trails. Do you do dog parks?
I am not a fan of dog parks.
Okay.
The only reason, so Bandit is very temperamental, just in the sense of he's not a fan of meeting like people in his space, whether it's a dog or a person. And we are working on how he communicates that with dogs. And a lot of owners just don't pay attention. They want to burn their dog's energy and hang out. And so, I don't know, it's just not, with me working so hard and putting so much time and energy into training him correctly, I just don't want an incident. Like, I don't want anybody, whether him or another dog, to get hurt. But I just don't want to take him somewhere where the other dog is not going to be held to the same standards.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm trying to get him to behave correctly, and then this other dog isn't listening. And it's just not, it seems actually more stressful to me than just like taking your dog for a walk or taking them to daycare. Like, it just seems like a more stressful environment.
There's a lot of unknowns. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Not our go-to.
But he does go to daycare on a pretty regular basis, so he gets to socialize and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's there with me every day. I take both him and Gracie every day, and he does pretty well. I mean, he's still a pup, and so, like I said, I'm still trying to work on, like, okay, the dog's in your space. You don't have to, you know, jab him or whatever, and he's got herding breed in him, which is something that I have to work on. But
oh, yeah, he's a Catahoula as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm totally familiar with the whole Catahoula. Rue tries to herd us around the house sometimes. So
Bandit too. He will actually not nip and make contact, but will run alongside me if I'm, you know, like I need to get to this spot quickly or something, and he will do that. He'll just run right alongside me and just kind of like throw his head at my arm, like, hey, you're cutting into my lane, basically. And I'm like, excuse me, what are you doing?
Yeah, Rue is really good about letting me know when she wants to go for a walk or go outside. She's she definitely has that herding instinct, especially when she was younger. She would go for your ankles.
Oh, that's funny.
And she'll get you moving really quick.
Yes, oh, I'm sure. Is she a talker? Like, does she make a lot of noise?
A little bit. Okay. She just really likes to talk to squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
But most of the time, she's really good about alerting us to anything in, I guess, her space at the house. But when we're out in public, no, she does not. She doesn't talk too much. Unless she sees a deer, and then she is, she flips into just, I've got to go after that mode.
Yeah.
Her herding chasing mode just turns completely on.
Yeah.
And she becomes almost uncontrollable. And it's something I've been working with her for years. And it's just, it's really difficult to break her from that. But
yeah,
it is what it is. And we deal with it. And really the only time that we have that issue is when we're out hiking on trails. Any other time when we're in a closed space, no problems. Her recall is terrific.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We're working on Bandit's recall. He really is pretty good. I mean, he checks in and, cause we're working on being able to fully say he's trained off leash. But I have worked with the e-collar with him and then the long line. So he's pretty, Well, and if I have a squeaky ball, he doesn't leave my side. Like the entire, I don't know, however long the trail is, he's right there. So that's a nice little training tool.
When you say checks in, what exactly does he do when you say he checks in?
So he will, trot up a ways up the trail or something, never goes out of eyesight. And then without me even calling him back to me, he will trot back, just kind of like, okay, you're still here. I'm still here. We're good. And then we'll trot a distance again. He'll come back to me. Like he's done
Okay.
that ever since he was a puppy without like any training. He
Oh,
just
wow.
kind of, yeah, he just kind of, I don't know, just wants to make sure like that I'm within sight. And yeah, he's always now. Like Rue, though, if he sees something that he wants to go get, and it's never another dog or anything like that, it's usually like a prey item. What would be a prey item? It's very hard to get him to focus, which is typically why we trained with the e-collar or I carry a squeaky ball, because a lot of times I just squeak that ball and then that's all he wants. So it's a
Okay.
nice little trick.
Yeah, typically when we're on the trail and there's another dog, either if we're passing or they are coming towards us, most of the time when Rue's on, she is on point. She's focused and she's going. She doesn't really care much about the other dog. Yeah, it's just wildlife
Yeah.
that she really gets interested in.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of trails, and I know we kind of mentioned we started into a little bit about
Oh, yeah.
local stuff, but are there some local trails that you really like, things that are nearby home that you can do, not just on a weekend, but maybe even during the week?
Yeah, there's actually two that I frequent quite a bit, and then just found this new one. But we go to Spring Creek Nature Preserve.
Okay.
That's in Richardson. I used to live in that area, so when I had my other dog, who again was not dog social, I wanted to get him out any chance I could, and there was nobody ever, like ever, at that trail. So I've been going to that one for years.
And that's in the
It's
Dallas area.
right outside of Dallas and Richardson, so probably like 30 minutes from
Okay.
Dallas. So that one's a super nice one. It's got a creek, wooded area, and then like an open field. So it kind of has a little bit of everything. And then Arbor Hills in Plano, that's a really nice one. That one's newer. That one is highly populated. So, if anybody was looking to go there that had a dog that is maybe a little reactive, I would definitely just keep that in mind that it doesn't matter what time of the day you go, it's packed. But it is a really, really nice park. They have a lot of sidewalk trails that you can do, and then a lot of like wooded trails and creeks. And so it kind of has a little bit for everyone, which is really nice.
Okay.
And then the last one that I just found is Fort Worth Nature Preserve, which is definitely a little bit of a hike for me. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. That place is awesome, though. Like, I am so excited that I found it. I've been 3 times since I found it, which was less than a month. Well, about a month ago, I guess. It's really cool and not highly trafficked.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on a
So,
map right now. That is a ways.
yeah.
I forget sometimes how big Dallas is. It is a
Oh, I know.
big
Yeah.
spread.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So other than that, are there other places, I don't know, within a couple hours that you're able to get to that you frequent at all? Or does everything else after that just kind of become a weekend vacation almost?
Yeah, everything after that. I mean, there's a few other trails that are super like, okay, I can go spend 2 or 3 hours here and you've seen the whole trail. So pretty much everything after that is going to be Palo Duro is where we kind of, that's either where we go to hang out with Stephanie, Duo Doggos, or that's our stopping point before we move on to Colorado. But I did take Bandit to Arkansas, which is only 4 hours from us on a solo trip. So that, which I want to go back because I did not get enough time there.
Oh yeah, Arkansas has some great places, and
Oh, yeah.
I'm of course on the 4 hours on the other side of, well, I say 4 hours. We're right on the Arkansas line where I am, but
Oh, okay.
we can cross Arkansas in 4 hours, and Where in Arkansas did you go to?
I went to Ozark National Forest.
Okay.
And then, yes, stunning. I mean, I can't, like, I was not able to spend enough time there. I'm so disappointed. But it's not that far of a journey, so I can definitely go back. But I went there, and then the next day in Petit Jean State Park.
Okay. So. Yeah, one day is never enough. There's so much to do in that area. Yeah, Ozark National Forest, which is also connected to the Buffalo River, or the Buffalo National River. And then south of that, you've got the Ouachita National Forest and the Ouachita National Trail, which goes from pretty much all the way from just outside of Little Rock over into Oklahoma. It's like 230-something miles, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. When I was trying to pick a spot, that some of that stuff was popping up.
Yeah, so yeah, you're definitely at some point going to have to come back and see some of that stuff. Tell me a little bit though about Petit Jean, because it's definitely one of my favorite places and I've got to get back there soon. But what did you get to do while you were there?
Yeah, oh man. So we actually did three trails. I spent basically the whole day there. And if I remember correctly, it was like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours from the Airbnb that I was staying at.
Okay.
But it was awesome. We did the most popular trail. It's that really steep one to get to the waterfall. I can't believe
I think it's the one that starts from, is there an inn?
Yes. Yeah. It starts at the top of the mountain. Yeah. And it's behind the inn, and then you walk down and,
okay.
So that one totally kicked our butt. And Bandit is he's actually not super high energy, which has always been really nice, just in the sense of, you know, I'm still learning. So if he's just an insane pup running around, that makes my timeline to a little shorter to how soon I need to know these, you know, training things.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the first trail, and he's a trooper. I mean, he really is. He waits for me. And like I said, you know, earlier, he checks in, and that trail was pretty populated. So I didn't ever let him off leash, but just steep rocks and the incline and just all that we had to go through, the slippery rocks, which he's not a huge fan of water. So anytime we have to deal with crossing, you know, rivers or walking on, you know, wet rocks, he gets a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So to just watch him just take on this hike, you know, and it was definitely a trek. I think it was a little altogether going down and coming back up is, I think, 2.5 miles, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and quite a bit of elevation.
Yes, definitely a lot of elevation. So that was probably the hardest trail that we've ever done together, because, you know, going to Palo Duro or even Colorado, they're very long, but they're not, at least the ones that we have done, they're not insanely steep, mm-hmm. and rocky, and just, I mean, you're taking big steps and holding on to things and stuff like that. And to just watch him do that and just, I mean, do it well and gracefully, and we never had an issue. And, you know, just watching him conquer the 2.5 miles of all of, you know, the terrain and everything was, for both of us, was just an awesome experience. I mean, that will forever be one of my most treasured trips with him. Like, just watching him, you know, do that, it was awesome.
Just out of curiosity, do you have an idea of, like, what the longest trail he's been on before? And I guess what I'm getting at is, have you kind of built up to this? I know with Rue, we started out trail running, and we would do short trails, and we've slowly built up, and her endurance is just become pretty phenomenal, and she can mm-hmm. do some longer trails now. But I'm wondering, how is he still building up? Are you working with him? Do you worry about just his endurance overall?
I haven't, I guess, so far, just because the trails have been pretty, I guess, pretty level. There, I mean, it's a lot of walking, but there hasn't necessarily been a lot of exertion, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I am not in the best shape, so I usually have to take a break before he does. But I haven't, when he was a pup, our first trip to Palo Duro, I did worry about that, just because, I mean, this dog had probably never done anything like that, you know, up until this point of his life. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple points where I thought, man, he's just like laying down in the trail, like on the trail. I should probably carry him, or we should take a break. Or so since that trip, we have really tried to, I have tried to build his endurance. I wouldn't say, you know, he's ready for a backpacking trip, which would definitely, that would definitely be an awesome trip. If I mm-hmm. could ever do go backpacking with him, that would be awesome. But I'd say the longest trip would probably be 5 miles at this okay. point.
Yeah, it's always a slow build. And that's, you know, that's yeah. always something I recommend to everyone. Start out slow and easy and then kind of build your way up, especially yeah. when they're younger. You know, it's I never advise anyone to do crazy long trail runs with their young pups, but it takes time.
Yeah.
Rue's been doing this for about, you know, for 4 years now, and she's gotten to the point where we're doing some 16 and 18 mile trail runs together.
Yeah.
One of the reason I kind of got into that was the Boy Scout trail at Petagin is something
like yeah, I saw that.
12 miles.
Yeah.
We did that whole trail and that was a whole lot of fun. And there are some amazing waterfalls all around that trail and outlooks.
Oh, nice. So okay.
It's definitely worth, if you get the chance to do the Boy Scout trail loop, mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll definitely, once Bandit can, or I can keep up, I guess, we'll have to do that.
Well, you can always walk it too.
Yeah.
It's at your own pace, always is the best way to do it, or at your dog's pace. That's
right.
Always what I recommend in any case. It should always just be fun.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, you mentioned, you know, wanting to get back to Arkansas, but do you have any future big trips, adventures planned coming up? And I'm actually going to bring up some of your destinations in your Instagram, because you've gone to some really, really cool places. Like scrolling through, you've got White Sands in there, which is in New Mexico. Obviously, you've got Petagin because there's the waterfall. But it looks like you've got some spots in Colorado, maybe around Aspen. Mm-hmm. Are there any specific places you've been to? Any places you plan on going back to?
Well, we would definitely... Okay, first things first. So we do have a Colorado trip coming up that's planned.
Okay.
And then later in the summer, we have a Wyoming trip that will be that'll probably be our longest like camping trip that we've ever done so mm-hmm. far. So I'm really excited to, you know, be planning that and for that to come up. As far as where we would like to go back, definitely Arkansas, because I was yeah. not able to visit nearly as much as I would have liked to. And then we went to White Sands, New Mexico. And well, other than the desert eating my phone, the winds were like 20 miles an hour when we went. And so dog and owner alike, it was very uncomfortable it felt like little bee stings. It was not a super fun trip. So we just didn't spend as much time there as we would like. So that one we would love, absolutely love to go back to White Sands. It was stunning. I mean, it's such a beautiful spot.
Yeah. In the previous episode, when I talked about, when I interviewed Natasha with Zephyr Trex, she mentioned how you lost your phone and it got covered up in the sands of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've had a chance to go to White Sands, and I guess I just got really lucky that the weather was just perfect when we went, and she told me about the high winds there. So yeah, that's definitely, you got to go back there and really check that out. That's a cool place too.
Yeah, I would hope to get there at least next year, just since I have so many things planned for this year.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really excited about it.
And that's a pretty long drive, and I guess Wyoming's even further drive for you. I don't know, maybe about the same.
Yeah. So where we've gone in Colorado, we've gone a couple different times to a couple different spots, but the last trip that Natasha or Zephyr Trex and I went on was near Aspen. So that was about a 16 hour
drive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. White Sands. So we go up to pick up Duo Doggos. And so that's about 5 hours to Lubbock-ish. and then another 5 hours to White Sands.
Mm-hmm.
But if we left from Dallas, it would be, I think it's a little over 10, like closer to 11,
okay,
just coming from this direction.
Which isn't terrible. I mean, you can do that all in one go, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what Natasha did. Natasha and I did coming back from Colorado. We were supposed to stop in Palo Duro on the way back and decided, oh, we're tough, we can just drive the 16 hours through, which we did. But yeah, we probably will be stopping next time.
Well, how do you handle, with Bandit in the car, how do you handle timing your stops? Anything special that you do with him in the car? Treats or you know, keeping him occupied?
Yeah, so he actually is probably the best dog that I've ever had to ride in the car. He is so easy. As far as like potty breaks, he pretty much sleeps the entire car ride.
Nice.
Like he's not up and down. He's not all over the place. He pretty much just sleeps. So whenever he stands up and is getting kind of restless, I, you know, plan a potty break just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if he is feeling restless, we use bully sticks. He loves bully sticks.
Yep.
And they keep him entertained. He's a chewer though, so they don't last very long.
Yeah.
With him is the only thing that kind of sucks as far as that goes.
That's a Catahoula thing.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, we have some freeze-dried treats. When we do stops, I'll make him do a couple tricks and just kind of keep his mind stimulated on the journey and stuff like that. But honestly, he really is so easy. He really is. So I don't have to do a whole lot for him in the car. So
do you ever find time to just stop and get him out of the car, go for walks?
We did a couple times. Well, and he does not like to potty on the leash when we are not at home.
Oh, really?
So yes. So for him to go to the bathroom, he has to run around and do insane zoomies, go to the bathroom, do insane zoomies, and then he's ready to go. Like, he will just come and sit in front of me like, okay, I'm done. We're good. So that makes it a little difficult sometimes, just because if we stop at a gas station, like, he's not going to be allowed to do zoomies. So we do look for more like rest stops with a lot of grass, more things like that. That way I can get him out and, you know, depending on how close it is to the highway, because I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah.
But the ones that are like kind of tucked away, we have a lot like that going out of Texas. So we like to use those more often if we can. But
so, yeah, I've driven through Texas a couple times, and every time I drive through Texas, because it's so huge, that's one of the first things we do is kind of look, research and find out where all the rest stops are. I hate stopping at gas stations just because there's nowhere to go. But sometimes in Texas, because it is so spread out, you have no other option because the rest stops are so spread apart.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And then one other thing, and this is just kind of seems to be only in Texas, there's so many little burrs in the grass that it becomes really difficult to get out at a rest stop or sometimes even rest areas to walk around. And Rue knows as soon as we cross the line into Texas, she's like, the grass is going to hurt, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we have to plan for that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like he does pretty good in the car. And I guess the drive to Wyoming is also going to be a relatively long drive, but sounds like he'll do all right.
Yeah. Sometimes we ride, like we travel with Zephyr Trex and Duo Dogos, and he can get a little fussy. I mean, he knows them and has known them forever, but just he likes to take up the entire seat. And it's like, okay, you can't get mad when somebody sits on you if you literally are not leaving any room.
Oh, and y'all travel together.
Yeah, a lot of times we take one car, just depending on if it's like an Airbnb we're getting or if we're camping, just kind of depending on the situation. But a lot of times, yeah, we just hop in one car.
Okay. Well, I guess kind of moving on to any particular gear or items that you really like and use either for car traveling or just for being out and adventuring in general?
Yeah, his harness has been fabulous. I probably bought, close to 5 different harnesses trying to find one, because he's so long and then has such a deep chest that it was hard for me to find something that didn't look like dumb or, and it's not so much like how it looks, but you know, I would pull, or he would pull rather, and it would just slide forward, or like it just wasn't offering support. And it took me forever to find Roughwear, but their harness has been awesome. Like he wears that all the time. It's comfortable in the car. It it fits well. So that has been, man, probably that's probably the most important piece of gear that I have for him, just because he doesn't pull too bad. But when we're on the trails, I don't want to use a collar just because I want him to be able to explore. And then I usually have the hands-free harness, so it's just easier to do that way.
And he has a short harness, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just shoulders and chest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about getting the longer one, but I don't know. It just, this one seemed to work, and he seems to actually look forward to putting it on. So we just, it worked, so we just kind of stuck with it. But I am going to get him the little, like, life jacket harness that they have for the trips this summer, just because we are still conquering his fear of water. And I think I actually spoke to Anna, Yuki's mom, to see kind of how she helped Yuki with that. And because, man, I love watching all her videos of her swimming next to the kayak and everything. It's awesome. So that's going to be something else that we're looking into this summer. But
yeah, I think that that's a real game changer of getting in the water and being comfortable and learning to swim is having that.
Yeah, we worked on it last summer a bit, but just because everything was still so new, I tried not to push so much.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been great, like traveling with Zephyr and, you know, Duo Doggos, like all of those dogs are swimmers. So Bandit constantly being surrounded by swimmers has really helped his confidence. He kind of just, okay, well, they're good. They're doing it, so I can do it.
Pure pressure.
Yeah, yeah, really. So he'll get chest deep in the water now without any hesitation. As far as swimming, we're still working on it. The the little life vest is something we're gonna get. And then the e-collar, I always take the e-collar. I mean, even to daycare sometimes, just to kind of help those herding tendencies. Mm-hmm. We're still, you know, I'm still learning a lot too, you know, learning what is acceptable, what he should be doing. And obviously it's more so when we're traveling, a safety, you know, safety net for me, that I don't want him to take off or do something that where he's going to get hurt. So that's kind of my little, okay, he's got that on. He's, you know, we've got it covered if we, you know, need an emergency or anything like that. But
just another layer of security.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, and then of course we have our favorite bandana company. Since he has
a whole lot of bandanas.
Yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed to like admit that number on here. So we'll just say, a lot. Upper 30s probably. It's insane. So
no, it's totally fine. It's totally. This is why I fell in love with Bandit. This is why I started looking at it and going, oh, these are so great. Every single photo is a new bandana. And it's just, it's amazing. It keeps it fresh. And I have to admit, it's terrible. I've got like two bandanas for so all of her photos are, it's either one bandana or the other. And it's probably dirty, but you know, with Bandit, he's always wearing a fresh bandana and he always looks good. Always looks good.
I feel like that's bad though. Like,
not at all.
Oh, this, he needs a new bandana. Oh, we haven't for this. I seriously buy bandanas for specific trips. Like, oh, this is going to look great in white sands, or this is going to look great in, you know, the red dirt of Palo Duro. And it's like, oh my gosh, you have an obsession. He doesn't even care.
It's all for the love. You know, there's a lot worse things you could be spending money on.
That's true.
So it is totally, totally okay.
Yeah.
Well, beyond gear, you mentioned, you know, future trips you have planned, but if you could go, and I'm going to take care of all of your expenses, I'm going to give you all the vacation time off you need from Social Pack. I'm going to buy you a couple fresh bandanas specifically for this trip. If you could go anywhere with Bandit, where would that be?
Well, man, probably, well, there's so many places, but if I had to narrow it down, I would love to go backpacking in Ireland or Scotland or maybe like Norway, something like that, just because the terrain is so incredibly different from what, I mean, anything that I will ever see over here, and all the history, and I don't know. I mean, those spots just look amazing. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, to go backpacking with him, to literally stop for the night, camp out, and just pick back up and go and just experience, you know, like, man, just experience that would be amazing. That would probably, that or Canada. Like, I know everybody wants to go to Banff. Everyone knows where that is. So that would definitely be, I think those would have to be my top ones.
Yeah, I think Banff has been probably the number one mention that almost every single person I've interviewed has said.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So we'll just set it up that we charter the flight and you fly to Canada first for a layover and then on to Norway.
Yes.
Head over to Europe after that.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
Okay, we'll get that set up.
Awesome.
In the meantime, do you have any shout outs that you would like to give? And that could be just anyone on Instagram. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about people on Instagram. And I'll mention again, Zephyr Trex, Duo Doggos.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know Anna and Yuki.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's see. So, and I mentioned Baxter, the little gentleman. We met up with his mom, and she's great. And he's so freaking cute.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's just a little adventure bean, and I really enjoy all of his little photos. And let's see. Oh, Oliver, the adventure pup. A lot of people, well, at least in my circle, have bigger dogs. So I'm such a huge fan of these little short-legged, like big-hearted, small dogs that are going and doing these big adventures.
Absolutely.
I think that's awesome. It's so awesome to see that.
This is a shout out to all the little dogs out there.
Yes.
You can still have big adventures. It's not just a big dog world.
Exactly. So I love their page. I just, it seriously melts my heart. I really enjoy Oliver and Baxter is my little small dog duo. They're great. And then Carly with Two Dogs Traveling. Mm-hmm. So she's put broadcast to this. So I don't feel like I'm airing her laundry or anything, but she's actually making a huge move across country with her two pups. So I'm really excited to, you know, one, follow along because I have gotten to know her personally, but just, you know, a lot of us travel for fun, but to make such a drastic move is going to be really cool to see where she stops and who she meets and, you know, anything that she gets to encounter during that time. So I'm really looking forward to that and everything. And then Paws of Boxer, Trevor's also a brown Catahoula.
Okay.
And between Rue and Trevor, I'm just falling in love with that color because Bandit's gray, or he's the gray and black. So it's nice to see like other Catahoulas with a different coloring. I've really enjoyed seeing like all of the different colors and everything like that. And he just seems like he has a really cute personality. So Those would probably have to be kind of the ones that are in the forefront right now. But there's hundreds. I mean, there really is hundreds of people that are have influenced and, are just awesome.
And, of course, I'll put all of these in the show notes so that people can go and look at all of these. I'm the same way. I've just absolutely hundreds of accounts that I follow. And I could go on and on for hours, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Brittany, I just want to say, you know, a big, huge thank you for coming on the show. And like I said, I've been a big fan. So for me, this has just been awesome to have you on. And yeah, when you start planning your trip over to Arkansas again, you got to let me know because you can come from one direction. I'll come from the other and we'll have a meetup and then we can do like a live recording on the trail.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. That's something I would love to do. And yeah, there's so many cool places over there. It's just, yeah, there's
Yeah.
Arkansas is full of things to do in case anyone's interested. Check it out.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait, and we will definitely be making a trip back, so I will let you know, and obviously for all the followers, post all the cool spots that we hit and everything, because I know that that's one of the things I look at too, is, oh, dang, that's cool. Where is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, and I will let you go, and
Yeah.
we'll be in touch.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much.
And that was Brittany talking about her beautiful pup, Bandit. Of course, I'm a little biased since Bandit is a Catahoula, but seriously, though, I think you'll agree if you go check out their photos. He is a pretty good-looking pup. And I've got some really cool interviews lined up with some more doggos, and I am still looking to hear from all of you about any suggestions, things you'd like to hear us talk about, or maybe even someone that you'd like to suggest for an interview. So let me know. Specifically, I'd love to interview someone who really loves heading to the dog park and maybe has a lot of experience with that. So if you take your pups to the local dog park on the regular, drop me a line. I'd like to talk about that. You can email me at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com, or you can message me on Instagram. As always, check out the full show notes for all the info on people, places, and products that we've talked about here. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, I would be extremely grateful if you take a second to just leave a rating or even a review. And we'll be back next Friday. Now, go! Have an adventure with your doggos.